Heart pain, tell love, she said. Where would I be without you? By Troy. Chapter 3. Tear my hands down, pull back the blinds. It takes some convincing, but Pippa leaves Hecate with a bit of her magic. Again, she finds it makes her feel stronger, nestled comfortably in her chest. And this time, she clings to it, holding it inside of herself for dear life, refusing to let even a bit of it slip through her grasp. She does so for days. After 3 days, she is confident in navigating the stairs down to the ground floor, and, after a sufficient break, back up again, to the reward of a long soak and a careful stretching session to ease her aching legs and hips. She spends hours in the potions lab while classes aren't in session, cataloging and organizing ingredients to keep her mind occupied, and even sits in on a class Mistral is standing in for. She only makes it through half the period. Timothy does an adequate job of things, but the students are rambunctious under her tutelage, and Hecate frankly does not have the energy to try to step in and create order out of chaos, nor the patience or constitution to listen to it. So she excuses herself and leaves them be, and hopes that Miss Drill can stick to her lesson plans. They really just cannot afford to fall any further behind. She does snatch a pile of papers from Demody's hands while Miss Drill is leaving the lab after class one day. I'll take those, thank you, she says. And Demody doesn't question her. In fact, she grins. As you like it, HB. She surreptitiously goes through Ada's marking, too. They've split Hecate's classes between them, since Ada's magic has become stronger, while Ada dozes in front of the fire in her study one evening. Rolls her eyes and informs the headmistress later that really, maybe it's best if she does the marking from here on out. She only does some of it in the end. Her grip is off, and even for a pile of short answer questions, her stamina is low. She strongly suspects that Ada goes through the marking Hecate does finish again after Hecate is done to soften the blow for the students. Pippa returns that weekend and finds Hecate in the lab continuing her inventory of ingredients. Part of Hecate wants to insist that she do this alone. After all, it is one of a few tasks she is able to perform at the moment. The ingredients are not heavy, and the repetitive actions are somewhat relaxing, despite that they do leave her arms a bit sore. But she has done enough to distance herself from Pippa, so she swallows her pride and nods her silent assent when Pippa offers to help. She's only just gotten started, really, and it's slow going. She can inventory the whole lab on a good weekend with levitation and scale spells, but for now, she must do things the non-magical way. The slow way. Pippa does not offer to help her with magic. Hecate finds this curious, but does not remark on it. She finds herself feeling a little grateful for the companionship. She lets Pippa slip in beside her, zeroing the scale and scooping the ingredients, and stowing them carefully back in their respective drawers and jars and tins as needed. And they work well together, almost silent, only the names of ingredients and measurements spoken between them for a span. It's nice, very nice. Hecate busies her hands and mind with the work and with Pippa's presence, and even manages to do a very good job of not thinking about the potion Pippa has promised to brew. She's spoken to her twice early in the week, both times to answer inquiries about Hecate's notes and best practices with some of the ingredients. To both their benefits, most of her directions are written in longhand, despite the long years of work behind the potion. So they are, generally speaking, readily understandable. Pippa has not updated her since, but, well, Hecate trusts her. Despite everything. Hecate is well and truly pulled out of her thoughts when Pippa observes with a wrinkled nose. Hecate makes it a point not to look, because that particular thoughtful expression has always been a distraction. This is an awful lot of fenugreek. Hecate hums in acknowledgement. Miss Baum insists on keeping a supply. Pippa frowns thoughtfully, then the frown becomes a bemused half-smile. She must be treating a great deal of dandruff, she jokes. And Hecate snorts in response. I haven't seen any nursing mothers around anyway. Hecate arches a brow. Pippa shrugs at her. Those are the two medical uses I know at our students' level anyway. The other witch says pointedly, with a dismissive wave of her hand. And Hecate actually laughs. A brief gust of a laugh, but a laugh nevertheless. She uses it to flavor some of the medicinal potions, she explains after a moment. Ah, well, that makes sense. Does it? Hecate says blandly. Sure, it's not terribly volatile, and could safely be added to most potions in the final stages of brewings. And it does have a pleasant taste. I never saw the appeal. You also never liked maple syrup, Pippa says, pointedly, brandishing a spatula at her. Hecate furrows her brows at that, frowning. I'm afraid I don't follow. Fescue, tufted. Pippa rolls her eyes good-naturedly, and Hecate realizes suddenly that she's enjoying herself, and that Pippa knows it. She flushes, uses measuring the grass seed out as an excuse to avert her eyes. So, if a recipe calls for fenugreek, and you haven't got it lying about, we're witches, why wouldn't we? But that's beside the point. You can substitute maple syrup to the same effect. At least, that's what I've read. It's Hecate's turn to roll her eyes. Are you a cook now, Pippa Pentangle? Heavens no, Pippa laughs. A bright sound, an infectious one. But it does do a girl good to step outside of her comfort zone from time to time. If you say so, Hecate murmurs, just loudly enough to be heard. Oh, hiccup, Pippa begins, and her voice is far too warm. I know so. Their hands brush in the next moment, and Hecate leaps back at the sharp crackle of magic, at the tingling in her fingertips. She stares at Pippa in surprise, fish clenched, fingertips pressed into the heel of her hand. And Pippa gazes back, rubbing her own fingers and thumb together. The room smells of copper and petrichor and a hint of spun sugar. Pippa smiles. What? Hecate demands, rubbing the thumb of her opposing hand against her stinging fingers. You don't feel that? I can feel that you shocked me. Pippa cocks her head to the side, gives her a pointed look. You're magic, Hecate, she insists. You can't feel it? Hecate scowls. She feels Pippa's magic, nothing else. No. Sighing in reply, Pippa reaches out a hand, but Hecate flinches away. Pippa favors her lip, dropping her hands to her sides. It happened while you were sleeping, too, she says, more quietly. Just before you woke up. You mentioned that. Pippa barrels on. I didn't feel anything then. Now I can definitely sense. I don't feel anything, Hecate interrupts again, body growing tense, drawing up her walls. She doesn't need Pippa's wishful thinking, her glowing and perpetual optimism. Well, maybe that's because it's yours, Pippa argues. Obviously disinclined to give up her end of the argument. You're used to it, just like you're used to the way the magic here feels, the way this lab smells. Hecate stares at Pippa for a long moment, relents, closes her eyes, focuses on the air in the room, on the pocket of energy inside of her. The only magic I feel is yours. And I haven't cast since I arrived, Pippa says pointedly. Her eyes trail from Hecate's face down to her hands, but she doesn't try to reach out for her. Instead, She sighs quietly and meets Hecate's gaze again. Maybe you don't believe me, but I know your magic. I'd know it anywhere, and I can feel it now. Looking back at Pippa, really looking at her, Hecate decides again that she must believe her. As if sensing that Hecate has given in for now, Pippa reaches out, squeezes her arm gently, and smiles. I've got your potion, by the way, she says suddenly, and Hecate arches a brow at the change of tack. When the surprise wears off, she fights the urge not to sigh with relief. It took a few tries, but I'm pretty confident I've got it right now. Pippa doesn't ask before casting this time, just gives her fingers a twist before a flask appears in her open palm. If you just want to check the color and smell. Hecate stares at the clear flask, at the pale blue of the liquid within, remembers how to move her limbs a few moments later, and takes it out of Pippa's hand, carefully removing the top. She lifts it to her nose and sniffs, and the potion smells perfectly familiar. I can't stay the night, as I've got another batch going, just in case, Pippa is saying, gesturing nervously with her hands as Hecate seals a fingertip over the vial, dips it upside down, and presses the drop of potion to her lip to taste. I'll be checking it at precisely 6:07 in the morning. Not sure why I timed it that way, but... Pippa cuts herself off just as Hecate feels her eyes well with tears. Hiccup? Pippa asks, and her worry cuts through Hecate's thoughts, makes her look up from the vial and at Pippa, makes her heave out a breath, lips twisting into what she means to be a smile, but doesn't quite make it there. It's perfect, she musters, embarrassed by the emotion clouding her voice. Pippa takes the potion from her hands, and Hecate realizes she is trembling. She watches Pippa recap the flask in a smooth motion, watches her set it carefully aside. It's perfect, Hecate repeats lamely, gazing blindly into the space between them as Pippa moves closer, taking Hecate's hand gently into her own. She fumbles for words, unsure of what to say, finally settles on the simplest ones. Thank you. Oh, Hiccup, you're welcome, Pippa replies. Pippa's arms are around her then, settled carefully around her shoulders for a hug. Hecate breathes her in, the smell of her hair, the perfume, her magic. Without thought, she lets her own arms encircle Pippa's body, clinging to her and nuzzling into her shoulder, resisting the urge to sob. Thank you, she mumbles again, and thank you is not enough, but it is something. You're welcome, Pippa replies again, simply, lips beside her ear, warm breath sending a chill down Hecate's spine. You're very welcome. They finish their tasks for the day and share a quiet supper in the potions lab just before the rest of the school settles into the main hall for their dinner. Pippa accompanies Hecate back up the stairs, offering her arm as additional support, and pausing readily between the flights. It's slow and quiet going through the empty corridors, but she doesn't mind. She'd walk 100 flights of stairs for Hecate's sake. She does consider offering to transfer them, but although it is the easy solution, it is probably not the best one. And Hecate seems to know and respect this too, because she does not ask. What are your evening plans? Pippa asks, just before they reach Hecate's room. A bath, Hecate replies immediately, unusually candid and forthcoming. Taming this, she gestures at her head, with a slightly trembling hand, at the effective but somewhat messy bun she has managed to affix to the back of her head. I'm finding that to be very interesting after working with my hands all day. Some stretching before bed. Pippa smiles at her, gives her arm a light squeeze. "Well, I can certainly help with your hair," she offers, knowing how much care Hecate has taken with it, and understanding that its care is an obstacle at the moment, although Hecate has not asked for help outright. Hecate hesitates, then nods, eyes on the floor. "I would appreciate that. In fact, I wouldn't want you to leave too late, since you have such an early morning planned, on account of the potion. So, perhaps that could be arranged first, and it could be plated out of the way. Just a basic plate, like when we were girls," Pippa supplies with a smile, which only broadens at Hecate's relieved sigh. That would be acceptable," Hecate replies. Then, casting her gaze sideways at Pippa, she swallows and tries again. "I would be grateful." It's all awfully stilted, but Pippa would never dream of teasing her for it. She is warmed by Hecate's openness, however awkward it may be, and grateful for the opportunity to be there for her in whichever way she is able. And soon, as soon as they arrive in Hecate's private rooms, Pippa makes her way to Hecate's sparse vanity. She settles in behind Hecate on the bed without trepidation, giving Morgana an absent-minded scratch behind the ear before beginning to unwind Hecate's hair from the bun, removing pins as she goes. It becomes very obvious, very quickly, that Hecate has been finding her hair difficult to manage. It's clean, certainly, and mostly free of tangles. She is much too conscientious, after all, to let its care fall by the wayside. But Pippa is, to put it bluntly, horrified by the state of it. The ends are dry and damaged, even after this short time, and she suspects the body is soon to follow. Evidently, Hecate's magic does indeed go a long way in nourishing her hair, in replacing any number of products Pippa might use to smooth and condition and promote body and shine. "Oh, hiccup," Pippa mumbles, not really meaning to speak at all, but the words slip out anyway. "There's no going back now, so your ends." She can practically feel Hecate flushing, and she regrets immediately that she spoke at all. "It's been difficult," Hecate mutters, stumbling over the words, nervously rubbing her hands against her knees. "No, I know, I do, and I didn't mean..." Pippa pauses, realizing that fumbling apologies will get them nowhere, so she changes tack. "Well, I for one have never been able to keep mine healthy without using potions, and I bet you're still just using shower spells and a brush on yours, aren't you?" Hecate stops, clearly uncertain of Pippa's meaning, but the affirmative is obvious enough. "Of course," Pippa replies, letting a playful edge enter her voice, "because you've always managed to have the most effortlessly flawless hair known to witching kind." Pippa pauses, runs her knuckles gently down Hecate's arm to show she means no ill will. Then, sobering a little, Pippa gives Hecate's arm just the slightest squeeze. "Look, I know it probably seems like a lot, all those products out there, especially now." Hecate's gaze flickers towards her, and Pippa offers an encouraging smile. "But I have an amazing potion that keeps my ends totally healthy. It's a lifesaver, really. And it's so easy. You just spray it in at the ends and leave it. I bet if all you did besides washing your hair was to use this every morning, you wouldn't have to worry about taming anything." Pippa observes, hearkening back to their earlier conversation. "I'll send you a bottle tomorrow by flying post. You'll love it." Hecate nods. She doesn't seem thrilled with the offer exactly, but she isn't turning it down either, so Pippa considers that a small victory and reaches for the brush. She pauses before she even begins, a thought occurring to her. I could wash it for you, she blurts out. I... Pippa, you don't... You don't have to. It's not a matter of having to, Hiccup. I want to, if it will help. I could wash and condition it for you. And then, if push comes to shove, you won't have to worry about it for a couple of days, at least. Hecate is silent for a span. Pippa leans around for the barest glimpse of her face. Her lips are drawn, her hands fidget in her lap. And then, I shouldn't need... Who says what you should or shouldn't need, Hecate? Pippa asks. You need what you need. There's no authority that can tell you otherwise. And if there were, it certainly wouldn't be me. Pippa sighs, deflates a little, tries to pick her next word with care as she slips off the bed to kneel in front of Hecate. Hecate watches her in confusion. Pippa only gives her hands a light squeeze. Maybe you've relied too much on magic for these tasks in the past, but that's not my place to say. You can't rely on it now, so you're going to need help. That's inevitable. And Hiccup, all you have to do is ask. I'm right here. Hecate stares at her dumbly. Pippa keeps holding on to Hecate's hands, expecting her to take a moment to process everything and choose a course of action, and hoping desperately that she will do. Well, that she'll do whatever's best for herself. You and Ada are more alike than you know, Hecate mumbles at length, tone difficult to read, but her eyes betray something akin to wonder. We're sensible witches, Pippa quips, letting herself grin up at Hecate. That's why we wear pink. Hecate groans. Pippa wants to say more, wants to tell her, that's why we value you. But the words are heavy in her mouth, and they do not even begin to brush the truth of the matter. So she only smiles, tries to convey in that look how important Hecate is to her, what a magnificent witch and person she is. And Hecate almost cracks a smile in return. Okay, her cheeks are a bit dark, but she nods resolutely. Okay, there are bath salts in the cupboard. Would you mind drawing a bath? Of course not, Pippa replies, smile widening again as she stands. You have it charmed to the right temperature? Hecate glances up, fingers fumbling with a button on her blouse. Do you need to ask? Pippa arches a brow, gives Hecate a wink, and moves for the bathroom. She stoppers up the tub, starts the water running. Takes stock of her surroundings. Even in youth, Hecate had favored shower spells over an actual shower, citing that it saved precious study time, but the room is less sparse than Pippa might have imagined. She has shampoo and conditioner. The conditioner is the real surprise, since she never seems to need it. But she supposes even Hecate must forego magic for the act from time to time. A bar of soap and an unmarked bottle of something fragrant with mint and eucalyptus that could be soap or bubble bath, though Pippa strongly suspects the former. She finds the Epsom salts in the cupboard, along with several vials of potions, labeled as meticulously as anything, and adds a generous heap of salts to the bath. Leaning over the tub, she swirls them gently in, watching the ripples skirting across the water. She doesn't hear Hecate enter. Is startled when Hecate appears beside her, a hand outstretched tentatively. She's obviously been debating whether or not to touch her, because she looks caught out when Pippa turns to look at her. Sorry, I was trying not to startle you. It's all right. That's enough. Pippa cuts the water off and stands, moving out of the way of the tub. But Hecate doesn't immediately act. She stands there instead, wrapped in a dressing gown, looking uncertain. Pippa, you don't have to. Hecate, I told you, What I have to do is not part of this discussion. Pippa replies calmly, giving Hecate what she hopes is a meaningful look. She lays a hand on Hecate's arm. I'm here to help, that's all, if that's what you want. Hecate hesitates just a moment longer, and then, with a resolute nod, she steps towards the tub, drawing the dressing gown away from her body. In the next moment, she is gazing down the long line of Hecate's spine, with her pulse pounding in her ears, because here, in this safe space, Hecate shows so little reservation. Witches have always viewed flesh as a natural thing, and the bearing of it rather unremarkable. A witch's body is a vessel, after all, and little more. Made of stardust, imbued with her mother's magic, destined to become dust again. But Hecate is by far the most private, the most reserved person Pippa knows, and her openness here and now makes Pippa ache with the desire to hold her close, to protect her, to tell her in no uncertain terms that to Pippa, she is moon and stars and sun. Pippa stares down at the dark material in her hands as Hecate settles, rubbing the fabric between thumb and forefinger. Hecate sighs, bringing Pippa back to her senses. She hangs the garment on its hook over the door before returning to perch on the edge of the tall tub, and can't quite keep the soft smile off her face as she watches Hecate's expression morph into one of contentment. All right? Pippa can't resist asking, letting her smile broaden a little when Hecate's eyes flicker open to glance up at her with a blush. The water's perfect, Hecate says after the barest pause. Pippa laughs, watches Hecate's eyes glimmer with the faintest hint of mischief. Wonders for the briefest moment what it would be like to kiss her. Now, with laughter on her lips, and that tiny curl of a smile on Hecate's. To translate the happiness she feels at Hecate's openness and mirth into a touch, a caress. She shuts down the thought suddenly, closing her eyes for a second, conscious of where that train might lead. She cannot allow herself to feel such things. Not now. It isn't right. So she steadies herself, opens her eyes again, and Hecate is watching her with something of a distant look. She doesn't inquire, just grabs the shower sprayer and gestures for Hecate to lean forward a bit. She wets Hecate's hair carefully, pours a generous amount of shampoo into her hands, and massages it into Hecate's scalp. When her hands reach the back of Hecate's head, she's careful, remembering the tender points Hecate showed her last week. She goes slowly, easing fingertips above the nape of her neck. Hecate's eyes are closed, her brows furrow slightly, and Pippa withdraws a little. Is this all right? Yes. I'm not hurting you? No. Okay. They continue in silence for a while. Pippa rinses Hecate's hair and repeats the process before shifting to the end of the tub, letting Hecate's hair fall over the edges as she smooths conditioner into the length of it and leaves it to rest. So you're feeling better, now that you've been on the potion again for a while? She asks from her perch on the toilet, elbow propped on her knee, chin in her open palm. Yes, Hecate replies simply. Pippa suspects more is coming, but she doesn't press. And Hecate falls silent again for a span. And then, somewhat unexpectedly, she begins to speak again. I find myself capable of performing basic tasks, yet performing them is difficult, Pippa murmurs, filling in the blank with an understanding twist of her lips. Hecate actually snorts in response, but she sobers very quickly, swallows hard. Other people do these things so easily. Many do, yes, Pippa replies gently. Another moment of silence passes, and she frowns thoughtfully. Hecate, when did this start for you? Hecate wets her lips, glancing over at Pippa with an uncertain expression. She looks uncomfortable. You don't have to say, Hiccup, she almost whispers. But Hecate shakes her head lightly. It's all right. Fifth year. I started to have these aches. She cuts herself off with a shrug. Pippa frowns again. I remember. I overheard you one day, complaining to Miss Swift that your knees hurt. Hecate stiffens a little, but Pippa presses on. That you couldn't jog. I thought it was so strange. You'd never complained before. That was a private conversation, Hecate says slowly, cautiously, but with a question buried deep in it. Yes, well, Pippa murmurs. I suppose it took me a long time to let go of the suspicion that something was wrong. That maybe there was something I could fix. Something that could make us friends again. It's the first time she's confessed anything like this, but she supposes she owes it to Hecate now, after Hecate has been so open, so vulnerable with her. I am sorry for eavesdropping, though. They're silent for a moment, then another thought occurs to her. Do you know what else I remember? She asks, suddenly, frowning thoughtfully. Remembering all the pieces that never quite fit. You stopped writing almost entirely. You had a quill charm to do it all for you. Miss Tunstra hated it. I remember thinking, surely Hecate isn't that much of a show-off. She'd never. I know her. But then I realized I really didn't. She watches Hecate carefully for a moment after that, then shrugs. Didn't stop me wondering. Hecate frowns and turns away to gaze down into her hands. For a long moment, she looks like she wants to say something, but doesn't. When she finally does speak, it's almost too quietly for Pippa to hear. You've always been too good to me. Better than I deserve. Pippa feels her heart lurch at the pronouncement. Oh, Hiccup. No. She doesn't know what to do, what else to say. As if sensing Pippa's inner turmoil, Hecate continues quietly on with the previous topic as though the diversion never happened. Miss Arts gave me potions, strong ones for a while, until she stopped believing that I could be hurting so badly all the time. My father didn't believe me at all, of course. Not until I woke up screaming and stopped eating for 2 days. Great Aunt Honora was naturally certain I'd been cursed, and may well go to her death, wondering why she was never able to trace the source of it. Her voice momentarily takes on that starkly humorous lilt, for just a moment before sobering again. Father sent me back to school with a potion to keep the spasms at bay during our last term. It did help, but... Hecate trails off helplessly with a flick of her fingers. In college, I started trying different remedies and altering the potions to suit my needs. And over the years, it became a project. The potion you brewed is the result. Pippa watches Hecate for a few moments, considering this. She can't imagine having to do all that alone. Imagines Hecate steadfastly testing each potion on herself over a period of days or weeks, and then starting again with something new. Imagines her doing this for 20-something years, until finally finding something that works. Her heart aches. She moves silently to the end of the tub again, and Hecate leans forward without prompting, allowing her to rinse her hair a final time. Pippa runs her fingers carefully through it, gently working tangles free, and ensuring all of the conditioner is washed away. Sometimes it isn't enough, is it? She asks at length, remembering the second potion, the small collection of them in the cupboard. Sometimes, Hecate agrees. But she falls silent after that, so Pippa doesn't pry. She just wrings the excess water out of Hecate's hair. Hecate moves to unstopper the bath when she finishes. You don't have to get out on my account, Hecate. I have time. It's fine, Hecate says, steadying herself carefully, then righting herself on the tub. So Pippa snags a towel, circling it around to offer it to Hecate, who sways as she reaches her side. She reaches out instinctively, grasping at Hecate's arms behind her elbows, and Hecate mirrors the movement, nails biting into Pippa's skin. Sorry, she mutters breathlessly. Pippa only shakes her head, backing up to make room for Hecate to step out of the tub. That's all right. Do you want a drying spell? It feels so strange a thing to ask, and she wonders if she is overstepping her boundaries, but her fears are alleviated when Hecate nods slightly in response. So once Hecate's feet are firmly in the ground, she frees a hand to cast the spell. Then, returning the towel to its hook, she retrieves Hecate's dressing gown instead, and holds it for her, as Hecate shrugs into it. Thank you, Pipsqueak, Hecate says, as she turns to face her, slowly, as if weighing the words even while she speaks them. It's the first time she's called Pippa Pipsqueak since last year's spelling bee. Pippa's dangerously close to becoming weepy, so she places a hand gently on each of Hecate's shoulders, and cranes her neck up to press a soft kiss to Hecate's cheek. Let's sort your hair, shall we?